Well, this Sunday we're going to, in a sense, sort of finish up what I sort of began last week talking about in 1 Thessalonians. There's a bunch of things going on in there, and of course we aren't really allowed to say that some books of the Bible are better than others, because it's not really the case any more than some of your children are better than others. They're just better than others at some things. And Thessalonians, the first letter to the church at Thessalonica, is a place we frequently go to for comfort in and around funerals, for lots of good reasons. This is one of the places that Paul talks about some of those things. And he doesn't just talk about that, he also talks about the much larger picture, and that's some of what we see today. Paul talks about what it means for everything to be wrapped up. Now, sisters and brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, and then goes on. Well, the question that leaped into my mind as I was looking at this is a question that we've talked about in one way or another before, and it's the sermon title, Does It Matter When? There are some people who have made a career out of determining exactly when Jesus is going to come back. You'd think they'd have learned by now, but they have not. The highlight, if you want to call it that, of my first year in college was 88 Reasons Why the Lord is going to Come Back in 1988, followed up by his next year's publication, 89 Reasons Why the Lord is going to Come Back in 1989, and no, I'm not making either of those up. I don't know if he continued on into 90 and 91. I hope not, for many reasons. And that whole idea of our inability to determine exactly when God's going to come back and make everything make sense, whatever that looks like, has been going on forever. And our inability to make it work sometimes makes us think that the question in and of itself is pointless. And to a small and very small extent, it's not a terribly important question. But it's worth asking for a couple of reasons. Because does it matter when? Well, yes and no. And yes, it matters if there's any question about whether it's going to happen at all. Because sometimes that's the backdrop to that question of, you know, when is Jesus going to come back? Isn't so much a question of what is the date on the calendar, but is it going to happen at all? Just asked in a different way. And the answer is yes. It is perfectly clear in Scripture that the world began in perfection, the fall happened, and we've had ever since then. At some point, it is going to be made perfect again. We don't know exactly what that's going to look like. We have language like a new heaven and a new earth. We have strong indications that the earth we're in will be renewed. There's all kinds of things going on that we're not entirely sure of, but what we are and can be sure of is that it will happen at some point. The when, well, does it matter when? If we've settled the first part, then no, it doesn't matter when. Other than just a hobby you may have trying to figure things out, it shouldn't make a lot of difference. As I've shared before, a friend of mine once said that if you somehow knew that Jesus was coming back next week or next month or whatever, and it changed how you're behaving, you're probably not doing what you should be doing already. Because the name of this whole study, eschatology, is the study of the last things, the end times. Well, you know what? You are all living in your own end times. Because you only get one set of times. I'm in my middle 50s. Didn't take care of myself the way I probably should have in my 20s. I'd be surprised if I have much more than another 50, 60, 70 years. The end is coming pretty quick compared to the life of the planet, the universe. My end times are now. Whether I get to experience the reality of the return of God in that, whether it's going to be a dramatic way, sometimes we read about trumpets coming, and sometimes it seems a little more stealthy than that. Whether I see it or not doesn't change the ultimate reality of its coming. It just changes how I'll respond to it, which side of the curtain I'll see it from, if you will. So if Paul is writing about this, what can we take from this? Is this sort of all we take from here? That yes, Jesus is coming back. No, it doesn't matter when. Well, no, there is a bit more here. And there obviously is, because I've written all over my Bible. I don't know if you're one of those people who writes in Bibles and things. It's always interesting to go back. I have several of them, and this is one of the ones that I write in. Most of the time it makes sense. Occasionally I find things in there and I just think, what were you thinking? That's when you hope you can't recognize the handwriting, but usually you can, and it is you, and it doesn't make any sense. But still, this one, there's a number of things going on here that I've noted over the years. And one of the things that I see in here, that Paul isn't writing this just to let us know that this is going to happen. He's also writing some words of encouragement and reminding the people in Thessalonica, as well as us, that we belong to the day. We're children of the day, is how some translations put it. And I've looked at this part of this paragraph. It's in the middle of the second paragraph of the chapter. It starts in verse 8. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. And one of the things that I see here, and I suspect one of the things that I've interacted with before, is how frequently we take this sentence or two and this whole idea, and we put the cart before the horse. Because we often read this more along the lines of, let's be self-controlled, let's put on faith and love as a breastplate, and let's put on the hope of salvation as a helmet, because then we will become children of the day. And that's backwards. One of the things that we frequently need to be reminded of is that we become these children of the day. We do these actions. We become self-controlled. We put on love. We put on faith after we've responded to the call of God. It doesn't mean you weren't self-controlled before if you came to faith later in life. It doesn't mean that you were just a blob of nothing before. But if we aren't careful, we'll start looking at this from the perspective of saying, because I did these things, God said, oh, I want that one. And nothing could be further from the truth. It all begins with God. God who graciously reached out to us, not just before we knew who he was, but reached out to us before we could know who he was, because he reached out to us before the beginning of everything. We become children of the day. We become these sorts of people to a greater extent after we respond to that call. And all that we do doesn't make God call us anymore, because he can't be made to call us anymore, because he called us from the beginning. One of the things that causes us problems in this whole question of does it matter when is it's often tied up in this whole idea of, am I good enough? Will I fit in? Am I in or am I out? For those of you who remember, came of faith or of age even in the 70s and 80s, maybe even the late 60s, particularly in, as far as I can tell, the prairies, there was a strong move in evangelicalism to frighten you into a relationship with Jesus. And there were books and speakers, and maybe we'd be forgiven, terrifying movies that were shown to children and to young people to frighten them to such an extent that they felt they had only one option, and that was to turn to Jesus. And yes, we do only have one option to turn to Jesus, but turning to Jesus out of fear is not as helpful as it should be. And I think a lot of that springs from a misunderstanding of why we're told that this will eventually happen. There's something about human beings that we need to have some idea that there's a deadline somewhere. It just helps us. If you want, as a teacher, particularly of post-secondary students, about the cruelest thing you can do is not give your students a deadline or let them pick their own. Telling students to pick their own due date just demonstrates that you dislike students, as far as I can tell. And telling them that everything's due the last day of class is even worse. We don't function well without structure. And if we're not able to impose our own structure upon us, it helps if somebody else does. And if there was just this sense that everything was, as we knew it, going on forever, it would change in a dramatic way how we view God and how we view our place in the world and the world and the universe. The fact that we don't know the date to put on a calendar the same way you know that the day your midterm is doesn't change the reality of how we are helped to see things from a different perspective, because we know this world has a particular duration. It adds a certain kind of immediacy to what we do, even if we don't know that Jesus is coming back next week or next month or next year. It adds meaning to what we do in a way that some people don't understand. A number of people over the years have looked at the world from the perspective of it's all going to be replaced anyway, so it doesn't matter what we do with it or what we do when we're here. Both of which are false. By knowing that this world will eventually be perfected, it gives us hope that even in the midst of a non-perfect world, we can make a difference and we are moving towards something, and that even though we won't get there, because I know I won't, eventually somebody else will make it perfect. That gives me hope and encouragement. It doesn't make me just throw up my hands and say, well, I can't do anything anyway. I want to be one of these people who belongs to the day. I want to be one of these people that Paul says, I wasn't appointed to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through Jesus. As were you, as was everyone. Jesus didn't come and die for a list of people that left a bunch out. Jesus came to die for everyone. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, alive or dead, we may live together with him. Paul says, on the basis of all of these things, encourage one another, build each other up, as you're doing even now, because we live in the reality of a God who has not abandoned this world to the fallenness it's currently in. I am grateful that we are looking at this towards the end of the church year. Next Sunday, we're going to do the service slightly different. Next Sunday is the Reign of Christ Sunday, is what it's usually called, or Christ the King Sunday. The last Sunday of the lectionary year, and the Sunday after that is the first Sunday of Advent, and it's a new year for the church. I think it's helpful for us at the end of this long year, because even though the years flash by, they're still long. At the end of this year, we end up with this sense of encouragement, this reminder that we are the kind of people who are not going to be left behind when Jesus comes back. That we are the kind of people who have responded to God's gracious call to us, that he made to us before we could respond and then empowered us to respond. And when we did, we moved into this relationship with him through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit that changes everything we do. It doesn't make us perfect, which some days is more frustrating than others. But we're in this relationship that has changed who we are. And we're part of moving towards the ultimate end of a renewed and perfected earth. Whether it happens in our lifetime or not doesn't mean that we're not moving towards this, because we are. I realize that one of the themes that arose through this church year in a very real sense was a reminder to us that each of us has been created to do particular things that only we can do to make this world a better place. And it's easy for us to trivialize what it is we do and say, well, how important is it that I was pleasant to that person? That was God's call upon you. What could be more important than that? We don't make Jesus come back quicker because we act well. We act well because it's the kind of person we've been turned into because Jesus is coming back. And Jesus can't come back if he wasn't here the first time, and he was. And it all goes back to the beginning of everything, where God said, I'm going to create a world, I'm going to put people in it, they're going to make a big mistake, each of them, and they're going to make a bunch of mistakes, each of them, and I'm going to love them anyway. And at this time that will be perfect in God's mind and we don't understand all that's going to go into making that decision, he said, I'm going to come back and I'm going to make it perfect again. And that's what we're waiting for. Does it matter when? No, it doesn't matter at all. Does it matter if? Oh, yes. The if is the question that we ask ourselves. If God doesn't come back, then really we don't have much. Not because this world will suddenly become worse than it is. It will continue to be what it is, but because what we see here will no longer be true. And if it's not true, we have nothing. But it is. As we get ready to finish up this church year, to move into a new one with all of its hopes and dreams and challenges and delights, we do so because we know that this world makes sense even now, and that it will make more sense then. We move into a new year with a good heart because we are those children of the day. And because we've been made into those children of the day, well, we have self-control and faith and love and all of those things. I've occasionally thought that you'd think we'd be done by now, worrying about when Christ is coming back. And I realize that that's just my own world and how I grew up. We're not done, because every time we think of it, once we get past the trying to put it on a calendar, we realize that that is a sense of hope for us and encouragement for us like nothing else could be. That what we do has meaning, and that we haven't been left on our own. That the ultimate perfection of all things isn't our responsibility. We work towards it, we do what we can, we make the difference that we can. But the ultimate end is in the hand of the same God who reached out to us before we could reach back to him and then said, "This is how you do it." And he picked up our hand and put it in his. That's the God who's coming back. I don't know when. And in a real sense, I don't care. But I know he's coming. And that's all that matters. Amen.